Let's turn them all on.
Let's tell all of them. We got so many people here, man. There's so many mics.
Yeah, I'm just having so much fun. I decided not to leave. So
hold over, though. I don't like that term. You sound like Fred Preen refusing to leave the DNR board.
When the next person is nominated, I'll leave.
Exactly. Well, you got to
the next the nominee is coming at 5:30.
Well, that's going to be a long afternoon.
You don't have to stay that long. I've only got one diet new for you, Matt. The rest are mine. Matt Rothschild, our fine guest here in the world headquarters. Gentlemen, Tony Evers, the Democratic governor of the state of Wisconsin, well, he raised the pride flag above the Wisconsin state capitol, a four-year tradition. He's the first governor ever to do so here in the state of Wisconsin. And if he loses re-election, it'll probably never happen again, at least not for the next 4 years. First and foremost, Matt, it's a nice touch. I think if I was a gay person, it would certainly be nice to be recognized and acknowledged as a human being, you know, at minimum, by a rainbow flag over the Capitol.
Yeah. I mean, this is kind of Tony Evers at his best. You know, he stands up for the rights of LGBTQ people. He's very good on issues of equality and diversity. He stands up to the really ugly far right forces. You know, he's a good, you know, backstop or goaltender or whatever you want to say. And he had a good comment when he started the tradition, saying he wanted to send a clear and unequivocal message that Wisconsin's a welcoming and inclusive place. And I think for folks who are gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender, that to see that flag flying atop the Capitol was saying, yeah, Wisconsin's a place that I could see myself living in. And now if some of these Republicans come in and they say, as they apparently are, that they would never fly such a flag on the Capitol, I mean, what kind of a message are they sending to people in Wisconsin?
Well, Matt, right here in the state of Wisconsin, I think Tim Michaels ran for, I forget his prior U.S. Senate, I think he ran for before 2004 elective cycle. Well, that was before a constitutional amendment in 2006 in the state of Wisconsin that established one man, one woman, one marriage, missionary only. That's it, folks.
And I had gay friends who left the state after that thing passed. It was such a disgusting slap in the face.
Well, and at that time, Michaels thought there should be a constitutional ban on gay marriage. Now, Clayfish, in 2010, when she was running for lieutenant governor, she said some interesting and creative things about the same sex. Fancy Brian, I think we're going to need your help. Do we have some of the historical sound of Rebecca Clayfish on the topic of the homosexuals? Play it for the people.
At what point are we going to okay marrying inanimate objects? Can I marry this table or this, you know, clock? Can we marry dogs? This is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous. And she actually goes on to say, biblically, again, I'm going to go right back to my fundamental Christian beliefs. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Apparently, she later apologized for using a poor choice of words. And you don't get, to back off a poor choice of words, my ass. You were very specific. Perhaps you didn't mean to say, can I marry a table or a clock? Perhaps you meant to say you love carpet or maybe some other inanimate object or some other mammal that you would want to compare LGBTQ rights to marry. This is Republicans at their absolute worst and trying to back off. Well, it sounds really bad looking at it 10, 12 years later. But at the time, do you think for a moment she didn't believe it when she said it?
Yeah, I mean, how derogatory, how dismissive, how dehumanizing are you going to get than saying, you know, we're going to marry a table or you're going to marry a dog? I mean, that's just disgraceful.
Well, the Walker administration, Scott Walker, preacher's kid Walker, was clearly leading with his Christianity, or at least his claimed religiosity. And we see this so much from these Republicans. I mean, that's great that you've got quote-unquote family values. But why do you get to institute your family values upon my family and other families that aren't like yours, that don't believe in the same biblical whatever the hell it is that he's posted on Facebook every morning?
But America's moved on, and Wisconsinites have moved on this issue. I mean, the vast majority of Wisconsinites, the vast majority of people in this country are approving of gay marriage right now.
Well, even the Clayfish campaign says that you know, it's settled law. But that's what they were saying about Roe v. Wade. And so many of the very same that would object to the union of two people,
right,
you know, based on love and not their biblical principles. Well, they're the very same people that would want to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I would guess Rebecca Clayfish is one of them.
Based on love.
As is Michaels, as is Rantham.
What if it's based on sex or based on money? It's nobody's freaking business why someone wants to get married. Oh, you can only do it when we approve of it if you love each other. Give me a break. How many regular one-man, one-woman marriages end in divorce in the first place? It's so hypocritical. They shouldn't be judging anybody for doing anything that they want to do that does not impact their own lives. Give me a break.
So which one'd you marry for, Dom?
The sex. It's true.
It is true. I met Mrs. Shelby. Folks, you are listening.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to try to let you off the hook, man.
No, I'm sorry. Off
the hook? He's getting credit. What do you mean?
Kind of bragging you, now, isn't he? She married for the sex is what you meant to say. Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's my sexy co-pilot, Dominic.
Yeah.
That's Batman, Matt Rothschild, sexy in his own regard.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, where to next?
Well, I just want to say, since it's LGBTQ month, what a great nonviolent revolution we've had in this country on gay rights over the last 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. I mean, I can remember back when Barney Frank, the gay representative from Massachusetts, great Democrat, thought it was we were going too fast on gay marriage. He thought it was going to hurt Democrats. He was in favor of it, but didn't want to pass the bill. And here we are. It's accepted now, except for those on the far right.
You know, it is interesting. We were on the air in 2014 at the Democratic Party convention, and our guest at the table at the moment was Mike Tate, the former Democratic Party chair. And Mike teared up. Mike had worked at Fair Wisconsin back in 06 and had fought against the constitutional amendment. And to see Barb Crabb, I believe, made the initial ruling that sort of opened the door. And there was a week and there were marriages just happening.
I mean, that
and
was
love was happening. It was
ecstatic. I mean,
it was great.
Gay couples, lesbian couples running down to, the city county building.
Because they
to get
didn't
married.
Know how long that window was open.
Yeah, it was
for.
Just a euphoric event. And I'm not even gay, but I felt the euphoria. And some of my friends were going down there getting married. And it was just great. And just to see people's human rights being acknowledged, that, well, you know, they're
right.
Equal human beings as adults. They can marry who they want to in a democracy, in a free country that's supposed to, you know, recognize and celebrate people's liberty rights. I mean, this
liberty
is liberty
and equality
right.
Under law, you know, those right. Kinds of things that so many conservatives claim they are all for it. And I actually see it come to fruition. You're right, man. It was a great thing. But I am concerned, as, you know, Rebecca Clayfish was basically quoted as saying, well, you know, the rainbow flag is just a prop, you know, it's used to divide people. And if she's elected, we're not going to use that rainbow flag over the Capitol. And I don't believe for a minute that if they're so belief, they have such a belief in their religion that if Roe v. Wade, that was, of course, supposed to be settled law, is now not settled law, that if for some way, shape, or form, they might change their mind on what we would all agree is settled law for gay marriage.
Well,
I don't
it's not enumerated in the Constitution. Use the logic of Alito.
I mean, that's what we're facing. We're facing this counter-revolutionary kind of centrifugal force from Alito, from the reactionaries at the U.S. Supreme Court, and from the Trumpites.
You gentlemen see what Paul Ryan was doing today?
No.
Paul Ryan has
Who?
Endorsed his... Paul Ryan, the former speaker.
Oh, okay.
Sort of lost his courage somewhere along the line after he merged his agenda with Donald Trump. Well, apparently,
and
Paul Ryan...
And then quit. Let's make sure we say that.
And then quit. And then went to K Street and cashed some big checks.
And the board of Fox, too.
Well, now he apparently is he's on the campaign trail with Tom Rice down in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. And he's endorsed this guy, but I'd like to read to you briefly from Paul Ryan's statement. There are a lot of people who want to vote like Tom, but who just didn't have the guts to do it. There are a lot of people who say they're going to vote their conscience. They're going to vote for the Constitution. They're going to vote for their convictions. But when it gets hard to do it, they don't do it. Ryan said that what Trump is offering is not what voters want. This is just such a crystal clear case where you have a hardworking, effective senior member of Congress who deserves re-election and gets the people. We're just trying to be celebrities who may be trying to help Trump with his vengeance. That's not who the voters want. Voters want people focused on their solutions, not on Trump's vengeance. And that, to me, is really a clear-cut case here. Well, I admire his words, but I think the Republican Party wants Trump's vengeance. What do you think, man? Final thoughts.
Yeah, well, and that's Paul Ryan again. You know, you quote him on that ad that you guys run all the time as saying, you know, Donald Trump lost the election, Joe Biden won the election, wasn't stolen, and he's still backing that up. So I give him a little credit for that.
Paul Ryan's final quote about the Congressman Rice, he's a nerd like me. No higher compliment ever given. Matt Rothschild, he's a superhero like us. He's Batman. He joined us here in the Devil Radio Studios. Man, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun, guys. Have fun the rest of the show.
Thanks, Matt.
Well,
good to see you, man.
Thanks. We're just doing it for the sex. So don't
try to change my mind. I tell you one more time. It's none of your business. It's just me and Fancy here right now.
I hated her so much. It flames on the side of my face. Breathing, breath, heaving breaths.
Can we
heaving?
Marry dogs?
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fun one, Batman. He's a sexy superhero type. Matt Rothschild from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. You know, can hardly contain the tingle in my leg when he comes around. Dom, we look forward to another fine guest joining down in the Shaw, perhaps from Zoom, but James Santel, former U.S. attorney. About an hour-ish, you know, yeah. Like a Dominic hour, like 70 minutes, something like that. Dominic, a former guest on this fine program, Dana Nessel, the Attorney General, great state of Michigan, reportedly said this week that she expects charges related to a coordinated effort to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential. She's filing charges, Dom.
Oh, it's
when
about
are we getting
time.
Her back on the show?
It's about
to be Dana Nessel Day up in here, Dom.
It's been a while. According to the Raw story, Detroit News reported that Nessel made the remarks on Wednesday at the Mackinac Policy Conference. The target of the investigation was said to be, quote, supporters of former President Donald Trump. She told the paper that her office had been investigating an unprecedented and coordinated push to overturn the election on behalf of Trump. Quote, I have talked to countless people at our department who have been there 30, 40, or even 50 years, the Democrat explained. So this is really new territory. There's no way to say, here's how we've always handled this. The Michigan Attorney General's office had been involved in at least three investigations into the effort to overturn the election, but no charges have been filed. Nessel wouldn't say when the charges would be filed or provide specifics. Her final quote, I can't speak to the details of many of these investigations, except to say the public should know we're aware of anything you have read in the news. We're aware of it. We are working on it. We're looking into it, the Attorney General explained.
When are you dropping the indictments, Dana? And then coming on the Devil's Advocates to brag a little.
Wait, and when you're hooking up with our pal Josh Call and maybe, you know, give him a nudge and, you know, give him the blueprint, maybe some cliff notes on how to move forward in these kinds of investigations, because the same crap that happened in Michigan happened in Wisconsin, AG Call.
You know, I had that conversation with Batman a little bit earlier today. Why isn't AG Call being more aggressive in prosecuting this?
Or at least publicly aggressive. I mean, who knows what he's doing? I haven't asked him. We haven't seen him in a while. But I have no idea. But I like what I'm hearing out of AG Nessel. It'd be great to have that activity with Call.
She was very clear from the get-go. First and foremost, Nessel said it was a multi-jurisdictional thing. This just didn't happen in Michigan. No, it happened in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and a few other states. And she said, clearly, this is a violation of Michigan law. But because of the multi-jurisdictional nature, she sent it up the ladder to the federal DOJ. And my question is, what did Josh just take her word for it? Well, she's right. DOJ, do your job. Well, you're also the DOJ, or at least the head of the DOJ.
Josh, like, literally, your Twitter DOJ, feed is WIDOJ, right?
You know, it's also called the DOJ at the state level, sir. And there are state level crimes that have been committed. And when we have this public quandary going on, when we have a corrupted Wisconsin elections commissioner, and the guy is in line potentially to be the next chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, and this man is publicly alleged and has acknowledged being a fraudulent Trump elector. And how do we know that? They took the false Trump elector slips and they mailed them off to the National Archives. They were proud of their actions because they thought it was a step perhaps to overturn the duly elected President Joe Biden. You know, got to have this alternative slate so if Mike Pence is courageous enough to do his job, or he doesn't get hung.
Right.
You know, then we'll.
You mean courageous enough to do his job? He actually did his job. If he was courageous or weak enough and slimy enough to do the bidding and the will of the president, like, you know, all the false electors have done, that thereby what? Engaging in the same conspiracy to commit fraud and overthrow the government. That's what they did. That's what you did. And there's got to be some law somewhere against that. And if there's not, there should be.
I would think there should be, yes. Yes, there should be a law against being a false elector and committing fraud. I mean, there are laws in the book. You
of
cannot
course,
tell
yes.
me
I don't
it is
believe
not
that they're...
against state statute in the state of Wisconsin, where we both live, and all of these false electors act as Republican Party officials. Because these aren't anonymous nobodies that got bamboozled into signing a piece of paper. These are the highest echelons of the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin. Andrew Hitt was a Republican Party chair, the top dog in the state. Bob Spindell is on the Elections Commission. The guy runs the freaking elections. And these guys are creating a false, fraudulent premise. And so far, no one's seen anything, nothing to see here. I mean, the Wisconsin Elections Commission voted 6-0. So clearly, it wasn't a clear-cut elections violation. Because the Democrats on that board, could they have found or done some investigation? They're not an investigatory body. Well,
right. I was just going to say that. Exactly.
Elections violation was alleged. They said it's not a violation under Wisconsin election law. Hey, Mr. DOJWI guy. Right.
Maybe any other laws that perhaps...
Under the
might...
criminal penalties, right. Perhaps.
Something.
Stop looking under the administrative codes and look under the criminal penalties, perhaps under F for effing fraud.
Well, and just also remember, if you're looking for any sense of motivation as to what to do, what would the Republicans do if they were in your position right now, Josh Call, and this was reversed? They would be absolutely all over. So whatever trepidation, if you're not, maybe you are, and thank you if you are, but if you're not, I'd suggest maybe getting your ass in gear and getting a hold of Dana and hanging out and having some cocktails and, you know, working on her strategy, because doing nothing will just only encourage this.
You think?
I'm
you
just
think
saying.
Doing nothing will encourage more bad behavior?
I'm just saying, probably.
Because no one ever really reprimanded you, and look how you turned right. out.
I never engaged in bad behavior.
Well, you know, you just don't believe in sin. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.
Is a complete lack of respect for the law.
I think the White House could have handled this better.
Dominic, we will get to the callers very, very shortly at 844-967-2789, but understand you had something that had you very stimulated, Dom.
Political is getting some details on a Trump World legal memo that a judge ruled was likely part of a criminal effort to overturn the election. This came out today, just a little bit from this piece. The January 6th Select Committee last week publicly released a long-hidden memo that a federal judge previously determined was evidence of likely felonies by Trump and Eastman. It's a December 13th, 2020 email from a little-known attorney who had been advising Donald Trump's legal team. His name? Kenneth Cheesebro. Cheesebro? I love the cheese, bro. He sent it to Rudy Giuliani, sketching out a plan for then Vice President Pence to halt the certification of Joe Biden's victory, dubbing it the president of the Senate's strategy. Quote unquote. The memo became public last week as a little-noticed exhibit in a legal battle between the January 6th committee and John Eastman, who conferred with Cheesebro about the last-ditch strategy to delay or prevent certification of Biden's election. U.S. District Court Judge David Carter described the memo in his March ruling as perhaps, quote, the first time members of President Trump's team transformed a legal interpretation of the Electoral Count Act, the law that governs the transition of power, into a day-by-day plan of action. Carter wrote in his opinion that the memo, quote, likely furthered the crimes of obstruction of an official proceeding and conspiracy to defraud the United States. He ordered it released to the Select Committee under the crime fraud exemption to attorney-client privilege. Oops. There we go, the crime fraud exception to the attorney-client privilege. Apparently, you can't, you know, engage in crimes, be the consigliere, and discuss fraud, and then think you can hide behind your crime fraud exception. Excellent. Love to hear it.
I thought it was all just pillow talk.
I'm sure the pillow dude had something to say about it. The plan offered by Cheesebro depended on the existence of competing slates of presidential electors in a handful of states where Biden won the popular vote. Like Wisconsin, Michigan, others. In fact, just a day after Cheesebro sent his memo to Giuliani, pro-Trump activists gathered in several state capitals and signed documents falsely claiming to be true presidential electors from their states. Then the strategy required Pence to firmly take the position that he, and he alone, is charged with the constitutional responsibility not just to open the votes, but to count them, including making judgments about what to do if there are conflicting votes. So this is not, and to kind of go back to what we're talking about what's going on here in Wisconsin, certainly with and Michigan, with AG Nestle in Michigan, you know, seemingly pursuing criminal charges, and an AG Call in Wisconsin, not. But this is not just individual actors of individual states. And for Nestle, I'll give her that. And perhaps Call is the same way. It's multi-jurisdictional. There's lots of states involved. There is a conspiracy involved here. Hell, the documents that they all signed were all very similar, as pointed out by many in the press and the media. So this is not just, you know, one individual or several individuals in one state deciding, well, we think this is bunk. We're going to, you know, give our own slate of electors. And if the Wisconsin Election Commission says, well, you know, we don't see anything wrong with that based on what we have power over, you know, maybe others are. Others have options to pursue that, and Call would be one of them. This is a grand multi-state conspiracy. I don't know why they don't have to go after, like, RICO charges on this.
Well, that would be the Department of Justice, right?
And we do know that the Department of Justice, based on the conversation we had, I think it was yesterday, have at least one grand jury looking into this very specific issue of false electors, perhaps.
I'm going to need several grand juries.
Well, there are several grand juries out there. It's hard to keep track. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, going to join us at 5:30. Maybe he can help, you know, enumerate them all for us.
Dom, I'm less clear what this new news tells us that we didn't already know. What's the takeaway for a dumb guy like me from the political piece? I'm sorry. I was trying to garner the new news regarding Cheesebro. How is what he's proposing different than what was already in the public?
I guess it's more detail as to the individual, you know, likely furthered crimes specifically. And it is regarding the false electors. So I think that's new detail. And this is a ruling from the judge on that topic. So that we know that some of those words were spoken before.
that had ruled against Eastman prior on the attorney-client privilege because he said crime fraud exemption because, you know, the president and Eastman probably committed a crime. Probably, Tom.
Probably.
They probably did. I'm not even using allegedly anymore. I don't think it's necessary. I'm going to use the language of the court. 844-967-2789, because the FCC won't let me use the language of the streets. Jack from Merrimack, keep her clean. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hello, Jack.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into Hunter Biden. He's not the president anyway. But, let's see. It starts out with demanding a recount, but where the Republicans won, but in only the areas that Biden won, then it goes on to whining and moaning about so-called election fraud, going to the court. There is nothing happening because there is no evidence of widespread fraud. Then it goes into, let's shine on as quote-unquote alternate electors. There is no such thing as I've ever seen in our Constitution as an alternate elector. And then finally, not necessarily finally, but lately, the Republicans are all saying, oh, we're going to go back and uncertify the election. Where does it stop unless people like Josh Call get involved and say, look, this is unlawful. You've done something here that is against the law. Fraud, the election fraud in particular, on signing that document is against the law.
Jack, I hope Democrats are not triangulating. I mean, Josh Call is on the ballot this fall. Tony Evers is on the ballot this fall. And they got a lot of issues in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, I know it's the AG race, but it's still a political office. When you got gas prices down the road here, it's almost $5 a gallon. When you got inflation, when you got all these sort of kitchen table issues, perhaps they don't think it's a political winner to go prosecute the soon-to-be chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. However, I got your back if you want to go that way, Josh. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they've got to do something. Somebody's got to. It's obviously not been getting better. It's been getting worse.
Jack, progressively, so is your phone line, my friend. But appreciate the call. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Jack. It's never going to end. You're absolutely right. Until there is some sort of prosecution of specific crimes, and we see it. I mean, even without crimes being alleged, the losers have now taken the tact that if they lose, it must be fraud, it must be fake, it must be rigged against them. And if they win, well, they won because they have better candidates and better ideas. That's the MO right now. So if you're looking for them to back off of that, they're never, ever going to do it. Donald Trump is never, ever going to accept the fact that Sussman wasn't convicted. He's going to continue on. Because why? Because he knows he was ass deep in dealing with the Russians. This is not a fake created by the Hillary Clinton campaign issue. This was something that he was involved with and got caught. His campaign manager was given polling data to Russian spies. We can relitigate all of that out there. Perhaps we'll bring some of it up with Jim. But those things all happen. Those are part of the historical record. And when he continues to lose in court, and when Durham's investigation continues to falter, well, he gets more scared and more angry and lashes out even more. There's never going to be a reconciliation for a guy like Donald Trump. He will always, always, always lie about it and try to put himself in the best possible light as he sees fit.
Well, here's the interesting part. I want to look towards Georgia for just a minute longer. Let's not forget, Trump endorsed David Perdue. And David Perdue is the former senator, lost that seat in the special. The last time Trump waded into Georgia elective politics, you remember, I need the 11,780 votes.
Yeah.
They made that phone call on January 3rd. They had a special election on January 5th. And then Trump and his buddies, or at least mostly Trump's buddies, you know, were capital insurrectionists on January 6th. The timelines were pretty compact there. Well, Dominic, 1 week ago, Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp crushed former Senator David Perdue by 52 points in a high-profile primary fight. On Tuesday, meaning yesterday, former President Donald Trump, who endorsed Perdue, suggested that something was fishy about that race.
Exactly.
Something stinks in Georgia, Trump sent in a press release via his Save America PAC. The press release referred to a Substack post by Emerald Robinson, a former White House correspondent for Newsmax, who now works for Lindell TV, which was founded by MyPillow CEO and election conspiracist Mike Lindell. Did you catch all that incestuous relationships there? Oh,
certainly. And Lindell was out there immediately saying the same thing. It's actually taken Trump a week to catch up or get the memo from Lindell.
Well, anyways, Robinson, the Lindell TV reporter formerly with Newsmax, says Robinson's argument is a little all over the place, but essentially boils down to this. Trump's endorsement record is very strong, so there must be something wrong in Georgia where a number of his preferred candidates, including Perdue, lost. She writes, President Trump's endorsement is the single most powerful force in the universe of American politics. There's never been anything quite like it. Trump-endorsed candidates overwhelmingly prevailed in the latest GOP primaries by a margin of 24-4. In fact, President Trump is running the table on the GOP establishment in the 2022 races. His record stands at 92-7 at the moment. That's what makes the primary results in Georgia last night so curious and so suspect. Georgia is the only state where President Trump's endorsements did not count. Robinson also notes Trump-endorsed candidates fared better in the poll released a month before the Georgia election compared to the final results. That's it. That's the extent of the argument. So because Trump's record of endorsements in 2022 is generally strong, the fact that he endorsed a bunch of candidates in Georgia who lost must mean there were shenanigans happening.
Of course. It's right on right crime.
Something stinks in Georgia. The numbers are funny because many of these races were rigged. Rigged. Where does that come from? I don't know if you noticed, Don, but Kemp received 886,000 votes. Perdue, on the other hand, got 262,000. That's a difference of about 625,000 votes. By percentage, Kemp got just under 74%. Perdue got just under 22%. According to Robinson, those numbers are funny and rigged, which is a pretty big claim to make without any evidence other than a month-old poll and suggestions that Trump's endorsements mattered in other states and therefore had to matter more in Georgia.
Hey, man, that's all you need for political prosecution, man. What do we think will happen when these folks get in power? Oh, I feel like you did something wrong, so to the gulag with you. You know I'm not even kidding.
Oh, there, you got a cell with your name on it.
It can never hold me, man.
It's right next door to mine. Mine's a little bigger, though. A little nicer cell. Fancy Brian, no, they got you in a little cave, man.
I'm taking the top bunk, just so you guys know.
I'm taking your mattress. Come back. More Devil's Advocates, more of your phone calls could be next. 844-967-2789. Always a better show when you participate. Oh, excluding you, CJ.
For you, pal. They're gonna nail us no matter what we do.
I know you gotta be frustrated. I can taste it.
They taste like burning.
It's over. Nothing matters anymore.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
We are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us toll-free, talk or text at 844-967-2789.
Dom, let's go to the phones. Jeannie from Eau Claire is next. Welcome, Jean. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
I guess I'll try to make a brief statement. And to me, it appears, you know, that the Republicans in our gubernatorial candidates are running on a platform comprised of proposed criminal activities and behaviors. So those people that vote for these people are voting, you know, on promises to commit criminal actions in our state.
They see them more as, you know, authoritarian, fascistic actions, Jeannie. Less so criminal.
Yeah, but still criminal, fraudulent activities, crimes against the people. So, you know, if these people support, they know darn well what they stand for. So I hope that Republicans think twice about voting for any of these candidates. Just my opinion.
That's
so
a great point.
Great show.
Thank you, Jeannie. It's a great point. You know, they claim to be all about the Constitution, but then they're down with, you know, authoritarian, fascistic, fraudulent activity of the other major party, the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin and across this country. They're down with that. And the other side of the ball saying, oh, we got to support the Constitution, but then also engaging in these activities. It's not even hypocritical. It's contrary. And it's just a disconnect with them. They think by being what? Engaging in the insurrectionist attitude that somehow they're supporting the government, which they claim to, or the creation, the Constitution, which they claim to love so much.
Constitution, monstitution, man. If it's not enumerated, you know, or convenient, then you just get rid of it. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got?
Hey, Mark.
There you bring up that word enumerated, and Madison hit that in Federalist 44. He said that they didn't enumerate everything that they might be called, the government might be called to do upon to, you know, to manage the country. I mean, to take care of the country, to address the country's needs. I mean, you just brought up, you know, the gas prices jumping up, and you know, CGL Culpin and wank about baby formula. If that's what CJ wants, if he wants, you know, he claims that we're communists and all that, well, then Biden should just seize control of all the big businesses in this country and say, this is the way things are going to be, and drop down gas prices to what the cost actually is to produce the gasoline and with a reasonable profit for the companies. Seize the modes of production for the baby formula manufacturers. So you're going to be cranking out baby formula now to meet the needs of the citizens of this country. I mean, that Biden does not control the economy. I mean, Dom can address this more than I do because he probably did a little more economics in school than I did. With my accounting degree, I just had a couple of courses in that and business law. But I could handle most of these people with one book in front of me to address most of these Republicans in any kind of debate at all. And maybe the reason they arrested you guys when you were in the Capitol that day singing, because you may have witnessed the crimes being going on with the little criminal activity they're doing, you know, escorting them with their legal guards up before them to sign the fraudulent documents. And maybe that's what they're worried about. You guys actually witnessed the fraud being committed.
Well, that seems unlikely.
You're a communist.
It was like 4 days differential when we were up there COVID Christmas caroling with our devil tree and the fraudulent Wisconsin electors. They had already been there on December 14th, by understanding, Dom. And the only book Mark would need to argue with the good Republicans, the Bible, of course.
Well, hell, man. It may have been
the
a couple
only book
of,
that matters.
We were there. They were there before or after us, the fraudulent electors, because I swear I could still smell the sulfur.
December 14th was the date the fraudulent electors went.
All right. Yeah.
And that was also the day the actual electors went. That was the day they went to Evers Chambers, the actual electors. And the fraudulent electors went to a conference room set up by Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, apparently. And they did their criminal act and, you know, then mailed it off to the National Archives.
It's got
to
be mail fraud, if nothing else. It's mail fraud. Let's get them on mail fraud. Come on. It's something.
It's not sexy, but it's got teeth.
Whatever works. You can't just let them do that.
You would hope not.
What? Really? Especially as part of a coordinated conspiracy, you know, by the Republican Party themselves and the president. I mean, what? Come on, people. It'd be one thing if these were just individual acts, but they are most certainly not. So I got to assume, based on what we're seeing in all the grand juries, they're going to unwind it and, you know, maybe present it, you know, easily for us starting when? A couple of weeks, right? Not even.
June 9th,
right,
baby.
The
today
corner.
Is June. That's 8 days away.
Yes. Is that next week?
That is. Next Thursday, we will provide live coverage of the J6 committee hearing as a special event right here on Devil Radio in the Shaw, all across the network, Dom. And then there will be some morning affairs the week of our respective birthdays. Mine's on Sunday, yours is on Tuesday. There will be January 6th committee hearings, my understanding, on the 13th, 15th, 16th, and 21st as well. And we'll try to broadcast them all live right here on the network. And I'm looking forward to it, Dom. I'm looking for something more interesting than the Mueller testimony, let's just say.
Yeah, as am I. And they better knock it out of the park, or we got to replace all the bums.
Well, you know, we've been talking about the big lie. The big fraud is the 10 false electors. What about the big Gableman? Blowing through his budget, man. The one thing they assured us is the witch hunt would come in on budget. And now we find out they've totally blown through the budget, Tom.
Blown by $220,000. It is this, again.
If you think about it, the differential in cost at $11,000 a month, and how long has it been on? It's Gableman. He's the bloating of the budget. It's Gableman's salary.
$676,000 budget. As of Tuesday, the state spent about $896,500, according to Patrick Marley at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Well, of course, the problem is, Curdy, it's the litigation. Speaker Voss from Wisconsin, his
spokeswoman. Yeah, why won't Democrats just roll over and get to jail already?
We had no idea the magnitude of obstruction through litigation by the Democrats when the budget was established for the investigation. What? You fiscal conservatives. This is a fraud to begin with, and then you just blow through the budget. And just think about this. You talk about kitchen table issues. Ask anybody who's dealing with inflation right now. If your world was upside down and all of a sudden a decision made you go over budget by $220,000, how would that impact your life? Because what they do, what the Republicans are doing, is going to the taxpayers' pocket to cover their fraud. That's a taxpayer issue. That is a table issue that should be addressed. It is disgraceful.
Dominic, at least Gableman returned the $234, the reimbursement for driving up to Chippewa Falls to go crap on Kathy Bernier.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
So, you know, take that off the million, and now we're square.
We're getting there.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. The Happier Happy Hour is next.
Sign on with the devil.
The devil. Tree by Crute offers elegance and sophistication.
That's my f***ing tree.
Very cosmopolitan.